Why are we having this discussion? Why do we do this? I don't understand this. All right. Yeah, come on. Happy Father's Day to you. It is great to see Grady and Janet Smalling here. They're kind of in between things and needed a place to come. And we're glad that we've got a place that has the air conditioner working, that they can come and stay with us. And so God bless you. As Sarah said, thank you for giving. I thought I was right. That's a little over $13,000 a month goes out of here to missions. And I mentioned, I think not long ago, that out of 13,000 Assembly of God churches, or however many it is, we were 54th in the nation in our giving to missions. It shows you, it just kind of shows you the commitment, the way we value missions and missionaries, and thankful for a new crop that are coming along, like Shelby and Matt and others that are giving themselves to missions in that way. Thank God for that. So, well, we spent the first half of the year looking at the big stories of the Old Testament in this year, and we're going to spend the rest of the year looking at the big stories of the New Testament. You're here at the right time, Brian. You showed up for, well, we kind of started last week. We talked briefly about Jesus' baptism. We skipped over his birth, because we'll hit that at the end of the year during Advent, and we'll focus on the incarnation. But this morning and for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about Jesus as the master. We're going to talk about master of the storm, master over nature, over demons, over disease, over death. And then we'll talk about parables and whatever Pastor Brian laid out. He's the guy behind this series, really. And so this morning we're going to focus then on him being the master of the storm. Our story today is recorded in the Gospels. We're going to look at Matthew and Mark's Gospel, when a sudden storm comes up as Jesus and his disciples are crossing the Sea of Galilee. All of us, I think, can identify with the disciples in the story, because we've all encountered storms that come up suddenly without warning. Storms come suddenly on the Sea of Galilee. In fact, if you go with us next year, we'll show you. There's kind of a passageway, a corridor between the mountains to the west. When you're on the sea, you can look there and see a break in the mountains, and suddenly the wind will come sweeping from the Mediterranean and through that passage, and a storm can blow up suddenly on the sea. Everything looks bright, sunshine, and all of a sudden it can go from calm to life-threatening in just a moment's time. Well, we all know about storms that come that way in our lives. I've preached this message more than once, I'm sure, and talking about storms, but we kind of forget the truth of the storm until we find ourselves in a storm. We forget what the sermon says and what the truths are that come to us, and then the doctor calls and the biopsy came back positive, or the CT scan showed a mass, and everything changes. We forget what it's about, and then our spouse tells us that he or she is leaving, or the boss says, we lost a big contract, and so we're going to have to let you go, or everything's fine till the doorbell rings during the night and the police officer tells you that your son or daughter has been arrested, or something worse, or a loved one dies, or a friend, a confidant betrays you. You know what I'm talking about. Storms can come suddenly and without warning, unexpectedly. And for sure, understand, life is not just a series of storms. Don't misunderstand that. The blessings of God far outweigh and outnumber the storms in our life, but storms do come. And some of you in recent days have encountered the winds of an unexpected and sudden storm. And we're overwhelmed and we kind of wonder, well, what do I do in the midst of the storm? Well, as we said, Jesus and his disciples had more than one encounter that's recorded for us with sudden storms on the Sea of Galilee. And we're going to see what we can learn from their experience. So Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 18, says, when Jesus saw the crowd, and they're at Capernaum, which is Peter's hometown, it becomes Jesus' adopted hometown. If you go with us, we'll go to Capernaum. And there's a Catholic church setting over the ancient ruins of what tradition says was Peter's house. We really don't think that was necessarily it, but it's right there on the coast. You're just right there on the water, essentially. And so Jesus has been teaching and praying. They come to Peter's house, and his mother-in-law is lying in bed. Jesus heals her. She gets up and fixes something to eat. And word begins to spread then. So people were demon-possessed and were sick. They all came to Peter's house. The master's here. He's in town. And so people are coming from everywhere. And so verse 18 says, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. And then a teacher of the law came to him before he got in the boat and said, "Teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." And another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father," implying, "and then I'll go with you." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. And the disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And the men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey." And then in Mark chapter 4, we read the little different take on this. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, which is the rear of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves," I love that, he spoke to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? You still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Who is this guy? Even the wind and the waves obey." So Matthew tells us it's been a great day in Capernaum. Great teaching. Now the people are pressing. And Jesus says, "Let's go to the other side." Notice it's his instruction. Let's go to the other side. According to his will, his plan, they get in the boat to set sail. An amazing day, inspiring teaching, incredible miracles. The disciples are feeling good about being a part of the ministry team of Jesus. Without warning, this storm comes up. And I wonder if their reaction is what mine typically is. This isn't supposed to happen. I'm on a mission from God, all right? And this shouldn't be happening. Storms shouldn't come to somebody that's doing what God told them to do. I mean, Jesus said, "Let's go." And now I thought if I obeyed Jesus, everything would be fine. I shouldn't be in the middle of a storm. Well, this is a bonus sermon, all right? I got 3 points that just wouldn't go away. So I got 3 points and then I got the real sermon, 3 more points. So this is the bonus sermon. There may be a bonus song at the end. You may have to go to the website for that. But here we go. Number one, between you and your destination, there will be storms, period. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much faith you have or don't have. I don't care if you're a Word of Faith preacher flying in a jet or whatever. I'm just telling you, your life will not be without storms. Sudden, life-altering storms. Saint or sinner, there will be storms. Knowing Jesus doesn't affect whether storms come or not. All right? Wish I could tell you otherwise, but I wouldn't be telling you the truth. Knowing Jesus affects how you come through the storm. It affects whether it becomes redemptive or not, or redeeming in the process. But don't be surprised or alarmed when storms come. They just come with living. If you want to, the reason why storms come is because you were born of a woman and a father. All right. That's why storms come. You live on this planet and that's what happens. So there's no such thing as an unchallenged life. So storms are going to come. That's bonus point number one. Here's number two. If you're traveling with Jesus, you have to take him as he is. I don't want to make a huge deal out of the English wording of this passage, but it always just struck me as such an amazing verse. Mark 4, verse 36, "Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat." And I'm just telling you, if you're going to follow Jesus, like the two men who spoke to him in Matthew's account, "Hey, I'd like to go with you." And Jesus says, "Well, if you're going to go with me, I just need to tell you, no guarantee of a place to sleep. No guarantee of income or retirement. You know, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but you may not have any place to sleep." Or the other guy that says, "Let me go take care of some business and I'll be back and I'd like to follow you." And Jesus says, "If you're going, you're just going to go. And stuff will have to take care of itself. We're going to go." If you're going to go with Jesus, if you get in the boat with him, you have to take him as he is. What I'm telling you is you don't get to change him to fit your little idea of what Jesus ought to be like. You take him as he is. He doesn't change for you or for me. And the path that He's traveling may lead us through some storms, and you may encounter some difficult people and some difficult circumstances, but you took Him just as He is into the boat with you. And so, besides that, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Jesus had an appointment on the other side. The disciples didn't know that. He was going to go to the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, where He was going to meet the demoniac of Gadara. He was going to meet a demon-possessed man. Nobody knew that. The demoniac probably didn't know it. But Jesus had an appointment. So basically what I'm telling you is, when you get in the boat with Jesus, His destiny becomes your destiny. That He says, here's where we're going to go. And we say, great, let's go. And so we didn't know that Brian's destiny with Jesus was going to be, I'm going to take you through some storms here. But on the other side of that, it's going to be good. So get where we're going. I've got something new I'm going to show you. There's something that I'm going to bring you through, and we're going to go with Him. But understand this too. It's not just about the storm. It is about the destination. We get all troubled by storms trying to figure it out. Why would this happen to me, and why do I have to go through this? But don't forget how the journey got started. That in the beginning, Jesus didn't say, let's go get into a storm. He said, let's go over to the other side. Now, in the journey, there may be some storms, but listen, Jesus said we're going to go to the other side. That's exactly where we're going to go, is to the other side. We're going where Jesus said, in spite of the storms that come. So don't get distracted too much by the storm. I mean, you're going to have to battle a little bit, but we're going to get to the other side because Jesus said so. We're on a mission, and we're going to get there. And then here's the third bonus point. Sometimes the plan, the purpose, and power of God are more frightening than the storms. It's an amazing thing. Mark chapter 4, verse 41. The wind had stopped blowing. The waves had stopped swamping the boat. It was completely calm. All right. All the source of fear had been gone. The whole sea had turned calm. And verse 41 says, and the disciples were terrified and asked each other, who is this? The scary stuff was over. Jesus stood up in the boat and said, hush. Calm down, and everything turned to calm. And now they're more scared than they were when the storm was blowing. All right. Here's what I want you to know. Sometimes the revelation of God and His plan and His purpose, His character, His power, sometimes that revelation is scarier to us than the storms were. God has a plan for it's going to happen again here in a little bit when He gets to the other side. And He cast the devil out of this guy. The people in the eastern side over there, they're going to say, we want you to get out of here. This is too scary. When you show up and start controlling demons and casting them out, we don't want you around here. It's just too weird. It's too scary. What I'm telling you is that sometimes what God does seems scarier than the other stuff. He wants you to take you to a new place of ministry. He wants to take you and teach you a new level of faith. And the path there may be a little troubling and unsettling. He may use a storm, but He's going to get you because it's all part of His plan and purpose. He'll get you to the other side. Trust Him and don't be afraid of the new things that God is about to do in your life. Don't be afraid of the new lessons that God is teaching you. Don't be afraid of the new revelation of God's truth and faithfulness that He's about to show you in the midst of the storm. Change and growth can be frightening and unsettling. But go ahead, listen, on the other side of all this, on the other side of all the change and all the other side of the storms and on the other side of all the trials, there's growth and there's victory and there's a level of maturity and a level of confidence and a new revelation of who God is. Like Job, you're going to say, I had heard of Him, but now I've seen Him. Now I know Him. Now I understand something I never would have learned any other way. Now there's a level of maturity that I never would have had. Let's go with Him to the other side, and don't fear what God is teaching you and revealing to you this morning. You getting that? Everybody's with me? All right. You're not going to be out by noon, so I'm just telling you. I'm feeling a little preach coming on me this morning. All right, so that's the bonus sermon. We're done. Brian's inspiring me this morning. So here's the real sermon. So what do we do then when you're caught in a storm? Three more real simple observations. First of all, number one, when the storms come, stay in the boat. That seems elementary, doesn't it? It's like being in an airplane. We're experiencing turbulence. Please remain in the airplane, all right? Jumping out of the plane because the air is getting turbulent is not the solution. And I'm going to tell you, being on a boat in a storm, jumping overboard is not going to be the solution to getting you through the storm. And we'll use that boat that Jesus and the disciples are in as a metaphor of the church. And I'm telling you to stay in the church, stay on board the ship. And as crazy as it sounds, when storms come, far too many people decide to jump ship. They stop going to church. They walk away from Jesus and walk away from their relationship because, well, I didn't think there were going to be any storms. I didn't know we were... They set out for a 3-hour cruise, you know? Mark chapter 17. The weather started getting rough. The tiny ship was tossed. If not for the courage of the fearless crew, the minnow would be lost. All right. Stay on board. Stay in. Don't drop out. Like Jonah, people decide, I'm going to find another boat. I'm going to go another direction because it's too scary going with Jesus. I don't like where this has taken me. And they leave and they run away from God and from His church. And listen, the people end up, they blame the church. They blame one of the pastors. And we're not perfect. We all mess up. I understand that. But they blame the church. They blame the pastor. They blame the people for their troubles. Well, everything was fine. Then I'll tell you what. I wouldn't go to that church. Listen. Hear me. It's not the boat that's causing you the trouble. It's the storm. It's the storm that caused the trouble. Don't blame the church. Don't blame Jesus. It's the storm that did this. Don't curse the boat. The boat's the only thing that's kept you from drowning so far. Stay on board. Stay with Jesus. The reason you haven't drowned is because of Jesus and His church and His people. I told you storms are going to come. Don't be surprised when they do. But whatever you do, don't abandon ship. Don't abandon the church. Don't forsake Jesus. He's not the source of your trouble. The storm is bringing you the trouble. Listen, if you're thinking about leaving the church, I'm just disappointed and I'm unhappy and the pastor's an idiot and whatever. There's other churches, all right, where the pastors are less idiotic than maybe what this one is or whatever. Don't abandon your faith because you've been hurt. Let me tell you, if you think it's rough in the boat, if you think it's rough sailing in the boat, in the church, wait till you jump ship. Wait till you get out in just bobbing around in the sea out there in the midst of the storm. You ain't seen nothing yet. If you think it's rough riding with Jesus in the boat, wait till you try it without Jesus and without the boat. I'm just telling you, it doesn't make much sense to abandon ship in the storm. The only way to make it through is to stay on board the ship. Stay in church. Stick with Jesus. Be with the family of God. It's why I'm telling you, don't leave when trouble comes. Pastor Brian said it so eloquently this morning. It's the truth. If you're just on the periphery of a church, you need to find a church. You need to find a church. We have people come by the dozen every week asking for help and can you help me with this and help with that? And we ask people, do you have a church home? Well, no, not really. Well, no, I go to somewhere. Yeah, this is a trick question. Yeah, I go to wherever. Yeah, now who's the pastor out there? Oh, yeah, what's his name? He's only been there a couple of years now. And yeah, okay. It's another trick question. Oh, I used to go to Carbondale. Really? Yeah, it was about 10 or 15 years ago. It's when that other preacher was there. Well... I've been here since Noah got off the boat. I've had a guy, are you sure? No, I'm sure. I've been here since 1976, yeah. But we'll still give you some groceries. You know what? You know, part of the deal is like, well, no, I don't really have a church home. Well, let me give you a suggestion. Get a church home. Because they're not going to let you drown. They're not going to let you drown. They're going to stand by you. They're going to pray with you. They're going to love you. They're going to encourage you. They're going to see you through this. There are resources and people that are going to help you. You need a church. You need a church. I know the world can't imagine why. Why in the world would I need a church? Wait till the storm comes. You'll find out you need a church. We're not perfect. No church is. But guess what? You're not so perfect either. Okay? And if you join us, then we'll be as good as you are. All right? As the great theologian Groucho Marx said, I wouldn't join any club that would have me as a member. All right, so come join us and let's do this together. Now, let me say it again. Jesus is still in the boat with us in the midst of the storm. And He's the one who said, let's go over to the other side. And if Jesus said, let's go over to the other side, you're going to get to the other side sooner or later. one way or another. You may be a little wet. You may be a little wrinkled. I don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to get to the other side. Understand, this boat we're on, the church, is the only vessel going all the way to the other side, to heaven. No other religion, no other institution, no other organization. The church is the only thing that Jesus is coming after to take to heaven. All right? He didn't leave anything behind except the church. And that's all He's coming back for, is us. Stay with the group that He's coming to get. All right? It may sound exclusive. It may sound whatever. I don't care what it sounds like. I'm just telling you, come get in the boat with us, because we're all in this together and we're all going to the other side with Jesus. Stay on board with Him. And listen, one more thing. Nothing of eternal value changes because storms come. Stay in the boat and keep that perspective. Death comes to everybody and to families and people we love, but Jesus is still in the boat with us, and we're still going to get to the other side. Death hasn't changed the destination. It just took somebody we love to that destination earlier and sooner than we expected. Illness comes, but Jesus is still in the boat with us. Even if illness comes to somebody we love or to us, we're still going to the other side. Disappointments come, but Jesus is still in the boat with us. We're still going to the other side. Stay on board this ship and let's get to the other side. Stay in the boat. Here's the second thing. Get to where Jesus is. If there's a storm, get to where Jesus is. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" They moved toward Jesus to wake Him up. It's significant to me that Jesus was still asleep in the back of the boat. This wasn't a cruise ship. This was just a small kind of boat. But there is a place underneath where He can lay down. He's laying there on a cushion. He's still asleep. It indicates to me that there's something that Jesus knows about storms that we don't. And to prove that, just look at what Jesus said to them after He got up and calmed the storm. He gets up and then says, "So why were you afraid? Why were you so afraid?" "Oh, what do you mean, why were we afraid? We were about to drown. The ship was going down." But Jesus asks, "So why were you afraid? What was the problem?" Jesus said some strange things and asked some pretty strange questions at times. And the implication behind it is always that Jesus knew something the rest of the party didn't know. Remember when Jairus came to Him and said, "My little girl's about to die. Would you come and lay hands on her?" And on the way, they get there and find out that, sure enough, Jairus' daughter has died. The people are weeping. And Jesus asked this question that seems so insensitive. He said, "Why is everybody crying?" Well, they just said that the little girl's dead. But Jesus asked, "Why is everybody crying? That sounds pretty insensitive, doesn't it? His daughter's dead. Of course that's why they're crying." But when you realize that Jesus knew something about death and dying and about those circumstances that they didn't know, then you start to see why He asked the question. He sent everybody out, took the little girl by the hand, "Talitha kumi." He said to her, "Little girl, little daughter, arise." And He stood her up and death was gone. And now He walks out and says, "See, I ask you again, why is everybody crying? What's the problem? Because not storms, not even death, can control the circumstances. Jesus has power over death and over sickness and demons and disease. Even death is powerless before Jesus." So here He is in this storm, sleeping in this storm. The wind and the waves are ferocious. The boat's being swamped by the waves, taking on water. And yet they have to wake Him up because He's sleeping in the back of the boat. Shouldn't that be a clue that Jesus knows something about the storm and its outcome that maybe they didn't know? Of all things, here He is asleep in the storm. Listen, here's a little tip for you. Write this down. If Jesus isn't alarmed, you shouldn't be either. Or either, whichever you want. If Jesus isn't worried about it, don't be worried about it. All right? If Jesus ever goes, "Whoa." If Jesus ever says, "That looks infected. You ought to have that looked at." Then that's when I'd worry. If Jesus is panicked about it, then there's reason to panic. But He's asleep in the boat. He knows something we don't know about the storm and about the circumstances. If Jesus isn't worried, don't worry. And He's not worried today. Trust Him that it's going to be okay. He's not panicked this morning. He can sleep in this morning because He's got everything under control. The disciples woke Him up. "Jesus, Master, panic with us. We're about to drown. Don't you care? Don't you know we're about to drown?" They forgot where they were and who they were with. But at least they reached out to Jesus in the storm. And listen to me. I know they were supposed to reach out to Him in faith and not doubt. They had read some books on whatever. I got to tell you, and I know, and you know me how I am about some of this, but I'm just going to tell you, I don't see a lot of faith in the boat. I see a heightened level of panic. All right. There's a... Yeah, you're not getting home anyway. There's a great MASH, the television show. There was a great episode where Henry Blake, the commander, says, well, they told us at commander school that, you know, the first thing people do in a situation like this is panic. And Hawkeye said, well, it's good to know we're doing it in the right order then. That's what was happening on the boat. They were doing it in the right order. There was panic there. There wasn't a whole lot of faith. There was fear. We're down in here. We're going to die. There was doubt. Don't you even care that we're drowning on the boat? I know they should have had enough faith to get up and speak to the wind and waves and calm them. But they were in a storm. It was nighttime. They were frightened. They were human. So yes, they were afraid like most of us would have been. And so they did the most sensible thing they could do. They went to Jesus. They reached out to Him. And you say, well, but they had to reach out in faith. That's not faith in their voice. That's sheer terror. Jesus, wake up! Don't you care? We're about to drown. That was fear. They reached out to Him in fear and in doubt, or maybe a little disappointment, or maybe they reached out in faith. Whatever it was, they reached out to Jesus. And that's what I'm telling you this morning. I had somebody in the first service say to me during prayer, I don't know if I have enough faith. And I said, honey, you're down here at the... You're down here asking for prayer. That's faith. It is? Yes, it is. It's faith that got you to walk all the way down here because it was difficult for you. You came down here and asked for prayer because you're hoping and believing that Jesus is going to do it. That's faith right there. The fact that you're running to Jesus, even if you're full of fear and doubt and worry, run to Him and get to Him. Get to where Jesus is and tell Him that you need His help. I'm not telling you that faith doesn't matter. Of course it does. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We have to believe and we have to have faith. But I'm telling you that God's mercy and grace and compassionate heart will reach back to you even if you're reaching in less than faith. Even if you're reaching out in fear. The key is get to Jesus. Move toward Jesus. Reach out to Jesus. Run to Him. That's an act of faith. Call on Him. Whatever your circumstances, wherever you are on the boat, wherever you are in the storm, get to Jesus. Reach out to Him. And let the storm and the circumstances drive you toward Jesus. Not only don't jump ship, stay on the boat, but get as close to Jesus. Wherever He's sitting on the boat, I'm pushing you out of the way to get close to Him, all right? I'm sorry, bless your little heart, but I'm getting ahead of you, all right? I'm scooting in right there because I want to be there. Be a God seeker in the storm. If you're in the storm, just knock those little ladies down and get over there by Jesus, all right? Don't knock the little ladies over. I wouldn't go to that church. He wants to knock little ladies down. I'm not saying that. All right. Here's the last point. Let Jesus do what only Jesus can do in a storm. I can't help but wonder how long the storm had been raging before they woke Jesus up. Remember, some of these guys, you know, there was a tax collector on there, an IRS guy, and an activist on there, a zealot. There were some different guys on there, but Peter and Andrew and James and John, those four at least, were experienced fishermen. They'd grown up on the Sea of Galilee their whole life. That's what they did for a living. They were fishermen. They were used to life on the sea. So if you'd said beforehand, well, Jesus, you know, somebody could have said, hey, it looks a little like a storm brewing up to me. Peter and those guys would have said, storm, shmorm, big deal. We've been out here our whole lives. Not a problem. Let's go. We'll get Him. Come on, let's go. Wasting daylight here, boys. And so those guys were confident because they had spent their life out there on the sea. They'd been in storms before. And besides, they were men. Dads. They were men. Men don't ask for directions. Men don't need to read no stinking instruction manual, all right? We got a hammer, a screwdriver, maybe we don't even need a Phillips head some days. We're just going to get the job done. We're men. We don't need to do this. I was telling first service, Dave Hensley had written a thing about he and his brother-in-law when he was a young man working on a car, and he said his dad came by and he said, what's over there in the bucket? And he said, well, Dad, those are some leftover parts we had. And David said, it was a good life lesson. My dad said, son, they don't build these cars with extra parts on them. You need to take that apart and put all those back in there where they belong, because that's gonna be important sometime. So I don't know how long they let this go. They didn't ask for help. They didn't ask for directions. They didn't ask for instructions. They're thinking, we can do this. They tried to sail for a while. They pulled the sail down. They tried to row for a while. And finally, after a while, they've just exhausted. The boat's swamped by the waves. It's starting to fill with water. Now they're panicked. Now they're truly, somebody should have woke him up a little while ago. Now it may be too late. And they came to Jesus and said, "Help! Help us!" And can I tell you, there are some things that only Jesus can do in your life. And you might as well let go and let Jesus take over. Somebody said it a long time ago, let go and let God. It's still pretty good advice. You say, but I don't know how. It's hard, isn't it? And after all, we're Americans. We're self-sufficient. We don't need anybody else. We don't need to ask for help. We're men. We pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. But there comes a time when you can't even find your boots in the storm, let alone be able to pull them up by the straps. I'm telling you, it's time to surrender and let Jesus take over in your life. It's time to cast your cares on Him and let Him be the Lord of your life, even in the storm. We used to sing, "Give up and let Jesus take over and He'll make a way somehow." It's the truth. And I got to tell you, you're out there in a little dinghy somewhere in a storm and you're rowing and you're just going around. You've only got one oar anyway anymore. So guess what? You're just going round and round. It's like NASCAR. You're just going around in a circle, only it's this way. You think, I'm tired of this. I'm not getting anywhere. That's the same bully I've been going around over and over and over again. I'm not getting anywhere. You're trying to manage your life without God's help and without direction, and now you found yourself in a storm. It's time to give up and let Jesus take over. That's really what salvation's all about, when we finally just say, I give up. I surrender my life to You. Come take over in my life. I give myself to You. I believe You, Lord. Jesus rebuked the winds and the waves. Quiet. He literally said, hush, to the wind, and it died down. The Greek word for be still, He said, hush, be still. Be still means to muzzle. He put a muzzle on the waves. And the Bible says, then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And the men on the boat were terrified. Who is this guy? Even the sea obeys Him. You see, these guys, again, they had a healthy respect for the sea, but now they saw one who was the master of the sea and the wind and the waves. And for these guys, it meant He was more than just a man. And then Jesus asked that humbling and troubling question, so why were you guys so afraid? Kind of like, what's the big deal? It's just wind, and it's just waves. It's just a storm. It's just a little water. Remember, I said we'll go to the other side. We're still going to the other side. I'm still on board with you. What? Still no faith? He was saying, haven't you figured it out yet? I'm in control. I've got this. There's nothing you're going to face that you and I can't handle. I'm on board with you, and we're going to get to the other side. So what are you afraid of? What is it that you're afraid Jesus can't handle in your life? Death? Nah, Jesus already conquered death, rose again. He says, don't be afraid to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. He's the resurrection and the life. Afraid of living? No, Jesus said, look, I'm the way and the truth and the life. I've come to give you abundant life, and nothing can separate you from my life or my love. I'll see you through every trial. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you always. Don't worry. It's going to be all right. Afraid of the storm? Jesus says to us today, I'm the master of the storm, and He calms the wind and He calms the waves, and He assures us if He needs to, He comes walking to us on the water, but He'll come to us in the midst of the storm. He tells us, nothing is too difficult for me. There's no storm that you will ever face but what Jesus can handle the storm. Are you here this morning and there's a storm in your life? If you need the Lord to calm the wind and the waves and speak peace into your heart, He can do it. He'll hush the wind and He'll muzzle the waves and He'll calm the storm. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've gotten out of the boat somewhere in the past and thought you could make it on your own without Jesus, without the church. You had a rubber raft and a couple of good oars, and then one of them's gone. Wilson floated away and you're just thinking, how am I going to make it out here? And you're just drifting, or you just still got that one oar. That's me out there. I'm making good time. It's just that I'm just going around in circles. We're just rowing away like Chris Farley with an oar out there somehow. We're just going to town with this deal. All right, we're going to get out of here. And you're not making any progress. Open your eyes and realize it today. You're not going to get there without Jesus and without His help. Or maybe, listen, it's not too late for you to get back where you need to be. Get back in the boat. Or maybe you're here and you've been trying to be the captain of your own vessel and the waves have just about beaten you down and you realize today is the day I just need to surrender the control of my life to Jesus and put it in His hands. Maybe you're just so wet and so tired and just nearly drowned in the midst of all of it. Your life's been torn apart and wrecked. He rebuilds and puts the pieces back together. That's the faithful God. That's who He is. And He's here. If you'll let Him have access to your life, even in the midst of your storm, watch and see what God wants to do. Stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You that You teach us and You show us that if we'll get out of the way and give up, that You're here to take over in our lives. You're here to do what no other power can do. You're here to put the pieces back together. You're here to see us safely to the other side. If you're in a storm this morning, it's about a minute to 12. If you're in a storm this morning and you need to just surrender it all to Jesus, you need Him to either calm that storm, or maybe you've jumped out of the boat and you need to surrender to Him and get back where you need to be. Real quick, I just want you to slip out from where you're standing. Come and stand here with me because I want to pray for you this morning. Come on, you're in a storm this morning. The wind and the waves are just rougher than you thought. And you just need victory today. If there's a storm, this is the moment for you this morning to just say, I'm going to give up and let Jesus take over. He's going to take control of this. Come on. Come on. You're in a storm. Come on. Or maybe you jumped ship at some point in time. You just need to come back and say, Lord, get me out of the water that I've been bobbing around in. Get me back in the boat where I'm supposed to be. Get me back here, Lord, where I need to be. I can't make it without Jesus. I got hurt. I got beat up. I got mad. I got disappointed somehow. And I left Jesus. I left the church. I left it all behind. But I got to get back to Him today. Or you're just at that place where you're saying, Lord, I need to surrender control of You. I've been floating out here with one oar, just going round and round and round. It's time for me to truly, truly surrender my life. I don't mean just like, okay, Lord. I mean like, Jesus, take control. I mean, Jesus, take the wheel kind of thing. Somebody else, there's a dad. You need to make a decision today. It's too important. You're at a place where it's like, I've been trying to fix everything and I can't fix it. You need to surrender it all to Jesus today. Come on. Come join us down here. I want to pray for you. Come on. Come on. Somebody else. There's a couple more people. I don't want to delay it forever, but I want you to obey Jesus today. It's your day to just surrender your life to Jesus. Surrender your family. Surrender it all to Him. Come on, you're fighting on the inside. I don't know. I don't know if I ought to do this or not. I don't know what it'll cost me. I know. I'm telling you the truth. You take Him as He is, but I'm telling you, it's the ride of a life. The ride of your life. Come on. Come on. Come on. We're just about ready to pray. If you've ever been in a storm and Jesus brought you through and brought you out, I want you to just come and maybe stand behind some of these if you want to come pray with them. If you know what it's like to be drowning and God's brought you victory, it's all right. Come on and let them know they're not alone today. Let them know they're not alone. Hallelujah. See, that's the good news of a church. We're not alone. We're not alone. Come on. Come on. I need some ladies to come over here. Maybe right here. Just make sure we've got people everywhere. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Folks, it doesn't have to be very articulate. It's just like the disciples said, oh, Jesus, I'm drowning. Jesus, I'm drowning. Will You rescue me? And He'll do that. Just tell Him that. Just call on Him today. Lord, we call out to You right now. Jesus, we're drowning. I'm not going to ask what the disciples did, though I feel like it sometimes. Lord, don't You care? That's what they said. Don't You even care that I'm drowning? Don't You even care that it seems like my world's falling apart? But we know the answer. Yes, You do. You care about us and what we're dealing with. And here we are saying, Lord, rescue me, and I'm going to surrender it to You today. Lord, here's my life. I can't manage it. I can't direct it anymore. I can't row hard enough. I can't find my way, Lord. I put my life in Your hands. We surrender to You today, Lord. In the midst of the storm, come bring us peace. Oh God, deliver us today. Let peace come, and let all this fear and anxiety and trouble and terror, let it be gone. Lord, here we are like the disciples. We're frightened and we're drowning. Jesus, save us. Rescue us today. Lift that fear from us today. Rescue us today, Jesus. Come and rescue us today, Lord Jesus. Oh, we're going to give up because we can't fix it, but You can, Lord. Come rescue us today. Come rescue us today, Lord. Come rescue us. Oh, Jesus, we cry out to You today. Here's the control of my life, Lord. Here, Lord Jesus, I surrender to You. Take me, Lord, in the midst of this storm. Take me and deliver me today, Lord. Take me and heal me and deliver me today. Come, Jesus, here I am just as I am, Lord, and I take You just as You are. And I surrender to You, Jesus. You come and rescue me. I can't steer anymore. I can't row anymore. I can't go anymore, Lord. I need You to come deliver me today, Lord. Come rescue me today. Come rescue me today, Lord. The storm's too much. Come rescue me today, Lord. I cry out to You. Lord Jesus, we surrender it to You today. We surrender to You today, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, we put it in Your hands today because we can't make it any other way. We can't make it any other way, Lord, so we give it to You. We put it in Your hands today, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, come rescue us. Just tell Him, Lord, save me. Lord, rescue me. Lord, get me out of this storm. Lord, calm the wind or the waves. Lord, take me to the other side. Get me through this storm today, Lord. I'm going to give up and let You take over. I believe You're going to make a way for me. You're going to see me through this, Lord. It's the worst storm I've ever been in, but it means there's a brighter sky ahead, and You're going to see me through, Lord. You're going to take me there. Oh, listen, we trust You today, Lord. The burdens become so heavy. It seems overwhelming to us. But You're going to take us through, Lord. I believe it today. I believe it today. I believe it today. I believe it today, Lord. You're going to see us through. Let Your peace come to all these. Let Your peace come to all these, Lord. The Scripture said that after You spoke, after You hushed the wind and muzzled the waves, it became completely calm. Lord, there's folk here that they need You to speak that word of peace and calm into their life. Everything has been so inflamed and so agitated and so stirred up, Lord, that we can't even breathe, we can't sleep, we can't think, we can't eat. Lord, I speak peace over their hearts. Over those troubled storms today, Lord, I can't calm the storm for them, but You can. But Lord, by Your authority, we speak peace today. Peace into your mind. Peace into your body. Peace where there's been torment. Peace where there's been fear. Peace where there's been no peace. The peace of God that passes understanding, that's beyond what we can imagine or comprehend. It even seems irrational or illogical, and yet there's peace there for us, Lord. There's peace that comes to us, Lord. Oh, we trust You today for that peace. Let that comfort come, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We rest in You today, Lord. We rest in You, Lord. We rest in Your peace, Lord. Ibrato vama keshemba yeso tu bahame. Yostavrama kosumpo yestevra mashifa. Urama kasila babokutu marime keshebaha. Lostavrama keshinda ba uyeme e sira tokusoblama.
Stay on board it and you'll be saved. The captain of your salvation is aboard and you have no fear. When you look to Him, surrender everything to Him, lay it at His feet, He's listening to you today. And He will go before you, and He will make the crooked places straight, and He'll cut in sunder the bars of iron, and He'll set you free if you'll only yield everything to Him. From the inner man out, your conduct, your ambitions, your honesty. Lay it before Him today, and He'll give you deliverance because He's in the boat and He's listening.
Hallelujah. 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 Let me borrow your keyboard. Hallelujah. 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 Well, do we want that? I'll tell you what. Let's go to see. Where'd you go? You got something back there? Here's what we used to do this. Go, and you got the words of this. Go to the very last verse. Well, if you got burdens too hard to bear, and if your load seems more than your share, kneel down and talk, because we're going to get there. Hallelujah. May the peace of God that passes understanding keep you and your heart and your mind and your spirit as you journey with Him. Because folks, we're going to make it to the other side. Stay on board the ship. Stay close to Jesus. And we're going to make it. Amen. God bless you. Remember, no service tonight. We'll see you Wednesday night or next Sunday morning. Amen.